Self-talk, the way we talk to ourselves. And the way we talk to ourselves is really important because it becomes the basis of our spoken word. It sets up the mental atmosphere that we operate in and that attracts to us experiences. If we belittle ourselves, life is going to mean very little to us. And if we love and appreciate ourselves, then life can be a wonderful, wonderful present. It's really up to us. If our life is unhappy or we're unfulfilled, it's very easy to just blame our parents or them, the famous them, and say it's all their fault. But if we do that, we stay stuck in our problems. These words will not bring us freedom. If we do that, how are we going to find our power? Remember, our power is in our words. Our power comes from taking responsibility for our lives. I know it sounds scary to be responsible for our lives, but you know we really are, whether we accept that or not, because the thoughts we think and the words we speak are constantly creating our future. Our beliefs shape our life. So we need to take responsibility for our lives in the here and now. And if you really want to be responsible for your life, then you've got to be responsible for your mouth. The things we say are extensions of our thoughts. Now, what is the first thing that you say to yourself in the morning when you wake up? And the second thing, and the third thing. Most people say more or less the same thing all the time in the morning. How does that start your day? Is that a positive way to start your day, or is it grumbling and complaining? Because if you grumble and complain and moan, then that's the sort of day you're going to have. You're setting yourself up for it. What's the last thought you think at night before you go to bed? So you're shaping your future. And are they power thoughts or are they poverty thoughts? Remember, poverty is not just the lack of money. It can be the lack of anything in your life, any part of your life that is not flowing freely. So your normal way of thinking, are you really into poverty thoughts or are you into power thoughts? I remember when I first heard that I could change my life if I was willing to change my thinking. And that was quite a revolutionary idea. This was in New York City when I first discovered the Church of Religious Science, Science of Mind. They were the very first people that told me that. And even though I didn't understand what they meant, it sort of rang a bell. It touched what I call the inner ding within me. You know, that place of intuition? I've learned to follow that because when that ding goes yes, even if it sounds very crazy, I know that it's right for me. So this idea was right for me. It struck a chord in me. Something said, yes, they're right. And then I began the adventure of learning how to change my thinking. You know, you get the idea and you say yes, and then you get to go through the hows. Well, I read a lot of books, I took a lot of classes, and I explored everything I could. And I really delved into Science of Mind at the time, because that was an avenue that was open for me, and I found it really wonderful. And at first, it was sort of easy, you know, and I grasped a few concepts, and I started to think and talk a little bit differently. And I no longer was complaining quite so much. I was a great complainer, and I was great into self-pity in those days. That was one of my things that I just loved. I didn't know that all it was doing was creating more experiences for me to pity myself over. But then I didn't know in those days. Remember, no matter where you are in life, no matter what you've contributed to creating, no matter what's happening, you're always doing the best you can with the understanding and awareness and knowledge that you have. And when you know more, you'll do it differently. So never, ever, please berate yourself for where you were or even where you are. You know, say to yourself, you're doing the best you can. But, you know, we're in a pickle now and we want to get out of it. So let's find out what's the best way to do it. Because if all you do is tell yourself that you're stupid, then you stay stuck. You need loving support if you want to make changes. I started to watch some of what I said. And I became aware of my self-criticism, and I tried to stop it. And I began to babble affirmations without quite knowing what they meant. And a few small changes began to take place. And I started doing with the easy ones, of course. I got the green lights and the parking places. And boy, did I think I was hot stuff. Oh, wow. I thought I knew it all. And I very soon became very cocky and arrogant and dogmatic in my beliefs. And feeling I knew all the answers. But it was my way of feeling safe in this new area that I was moving through. Because, you know, when you start to move away from some of your rigid old beliefs, especially if you've been into control forever in order to feel safe, it's very scary to move out and start trusting an affirmation. I mean, this is, you know, a thought that's going through your mind and you're trusting it to change your life. That's a very scary thing to do. So I was grasping onto things. And yet it was a beginning. It was a beginning for me, and I still had a long way to go. And like most of us, I didn't find the pathway always easy and smooth, because just babbling affirmations didn't always work. And I couldn't understand why. What was I doing wrong? Immediately, right, you go for yourself. What am I doing wrong? Was this one more example of me not being good enough? My favorite old one. I remember my teacher at the time used to mention to me resentment. And I didn't have the faintest idea of what he was talking about. Me? Surely I didn't have any resentments. I mean, after all, I was on the pathway. I was spiritually perfect. How little I could see of myself then. But I continued with my life, and I continued doing the best thing I could. And I studied metaphysics and spirituality and myself as much as I could. I grasped what I could, and sometimes I applied it. You know, we know a lot of things, or we grasp them, but we don't always practice. We don't always use them. And at that point, I've been into it for 2 or 3 years. You know, time goes by very quickly. I was beginning to teach it. I had become a practitioner with Science of Mind. And I wondered now and then why my students seemed to be so stuck. Why were they so stuck in their problems? I gave them so much good advice. Why weren't they using it and getting well? Why weren't they living it? It never dawned on me that I was talking the truth more than I was living it. It was sort of like being a parent that tells you what to do and then does exactly the opposite or doesn't practice what they're talking about. And then one day, seemingly out of the blue, I was diagnosed — that's a very scary word we hear so much of these days — I was diagnosed with cancer. And I knew too much by then to hide from myself any longer. I knew that cancer was a disease of resentment that literally is held for a very long time till it eats away at the body. You see, when we stuff things down inside of us, it has to go somewhere. And if we spend a lifetime of stuffing things down, it's going to manifest at some point somewhere. And of course, I became very aware then what the resentment within me could be about. I had been a very badly physically and sexually abused child. And of course I'd have resentment. Of course I would be bitter and unforgiving. Why wouldn't I? I had never, ever done any work to change it or to release it or to let it go. When I left home, it was all I could do to just no longer think of that stuff and try to put it behind me. And when I found my spiritual pathway, I covered my feelings up for whatever was down there. I covered with a nice layer of spirituality. And I put such a wall around myself that I literally was totally out of touch with my own feelings. I didn't know who I was or where I was. But after my diagnosis, my inner work of beginning to get to know myself really began at that point. Thank God I had tools to work with. because I know what the panic is when you're first diagnosed and you don't know what to do. But I had guidance and I had tools to work with, and I knew that I needed to go within.